We just happen to have one of the coldest nights that we've had in a very long time. Can you feel it? Do you know what would be very nice? If we could make a nice bonfire and we all sit around that bonfire and we toast a couple of marshmallows, maybe put a nice rump steak on the coals. There we go. You know, a warm fire on a cold night makes you feel good, doesn't it? I mean, yes, you could put a blanket around you and you would also feel the heat and the warmth of your body start coming up. But do you agree with me that there is something about an open flame that you just can't replicate with anything else? Even if you have one of these little, you remember, I remember when I was younger, my parents used to have one of those asbestos heaters. You know them, the old ones. They were these long, thin ones, and then you would sit on both sides of them. And me and my brother, we used to sit as close as we could to them. And every now and then when my father doesn't look, then we touch it because, you know, it's nice. Those things were not very effective, you know. And yes, they did eventually make a difference to the room. But you know, if you made a fire, we also had an old coal stove. And normally we didn't make fire with the coal stove because back then anthracite was very expensive and it was difficult to come by. So that was kept for very special occasions when it was really, really cold. Then my dad would send me to the coal shed. We still had a coal shed back in those days. Who of you remember coal sheds? Yeah. And you better go and fetch the coal before you bathed, because if you have to go and fetch it after you bathed, you have to bath again because everything is black. Now, the point that I'm simply trying to make is this. That coal fire warmed up the room, boom. Like that. And it gave this nice warm feeling to that entire room. It did something to you that that asbestos heater never did. Later on, when my grandmother passed away, my father inherited an oil heater from her. And then the oil heater was there. And you could compare the asbestos heater with the oil heater with the fire, and you would choose the fire any time of the day. Now, why am I asking you this? Or why am I telling you this? It's simple. Because tonight I want to talk to you about the fire of God. How many of you know that there is a fire in the kingdom of God? You see, here's the thing. Fire is extremely important in the kingdom of God. Maybe you've never looked at it from that point of view. Maybe you've never seen that. But without that fire, we can't go forward. We need that fire. You know what, when you look at somebody and you say that I've got a fire inside of me, what are you saying? You're saying that there is something, there is this power inside of you that is empowering you, you are passionate about something and you want to move forward, you want to do something. You are explaining to them that there is something happening inside of you. Now, let's talk a little bit about fire. Let's look at a couple of the characteristics of fire. Firstly, fire has the unique quality that it can melt ice and it expels the cold, which is straightforward. You all know that. Now, we were born in this world. Tell me something. When we were born in this world, were we Christians? Just raise your hands if the doctor caught you and said, oh, yes, Christian Tony, and oh, yes, Christian Fatima, and oh, yes, Christian. That doesn't work that way, does it? We don't become, we aren't born children of God. We become children of God. Now, when we are born down here, we are born in a world that is governed and run by who? By Lucifer. You see, we are born in this world ruled by what the Bible also refers to as the prince of darkness. And being far from God, we are cold. Can I tell you why? Because in darkness there is cold, but in light there is heat. When the sun comes up, what do you feel? You feel the heat. When the sun goes down, what do you feel? You feel the cold. If we live our life under the prince of darkness, we are far removed from the fire of the living God, and we are cold. Some of us are like ice. And you see, that's where the problem comes. Have you ever noticed how cold some people can sometimes be? You know, when we say that, oh, so that person is really cold, what are we saying? We're referring to something inside of them that's not right. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? All right. They commit murder, they commit adultery, they commit rape, etc., without as much as a flinch. You know, you get people out there that can do some horrible, evil, disgusting, ridiculous things, and they don't bat an eyelid. It's like it's normal for them. Let me get you to understand something. No, it's not normal. It's not normal to rape. It's not normal to murder. It's not normal to be mean and nasty and ugly. But some people do it like they were created to do it. No, let me help you to understand something. God never created nobody to do that. But the further you are from God, the colder your spirit is, the easier it is for the devil to work through you. And don't you think that the devil can't work through people, because he does. Satan uses people all the time. The one day Jesus was walking down the street and he asked a question. He said, "Who do the people say that I am?" And the disciples said, "Well, some say that you're a wise man, and some say that you're a prophet. Some say that you are John the Baptist that has come back from the dead." And then Jesus said, "But who do you people say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are Christ. You are the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You are Peter, on this rock I will build my church." In other words, Peter had a divine revelation from God, and he said something that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But on a different occasion, when Jesus was walking and talking about the time of crucifixion that was coming near, the same Peter that had the Holy Spirit speaking through him had a demon speak through him and said, "No, Lord, we will never allow that, blah, blah, blah." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Hello? When your heart is cold, it's easy for the prince of darkness to speak through you. When your heart is cold, it's easy for the prince of darkness to use you. When your heart is cold and far removed from God, it's easy for the prince of darkness to manipulate your life and be involved in your life. And I want to say something to you. That's never a good thing. Do you know why? Because the Bible says the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Look at your neighbor and say, "That does not sound appetizing." I want to tell you something. If you got the thief stealing, killing, and destroying in your life, you got problems. Your life is not going to go very far. You're going to battle. And that's not God's heart for you. God wants to change all of that. God wants to do something different in our lives. We have people who live their lives in the icy grip of Satan, far removed from the warmth of God's fire. Now let's ask a question. If you are really, really, really cold, what's the quickest way to warm yourself up? Okay, there's a couple of ways. You can jump in a nice hot bath. That does work. Old Brown Cherry. You, me, and the spirit of Bacchus, we have an appointment here. I'm only joking. Yes, there are very few things that work as well as a nice, pleasant fire. Now, let me just get you to understand something. There are a lot of people out there in the world, they have no idea that they are really cold. They think that their lives are normal. You know, sometimes, even in the natural, when you're not wearing something, maybe you're not wearing your jacket or something, and it's sort of cold, but you know what? You have to work, and you have to do whatever you have to do. You sort of press on, and you kind of like acclimatize. You kind of like get used to it. But if somebody gives you a jacket, and you put that jacket on, it's like, oh, that feels good. You realize how cold it really was when you start feeling that warmth coming back into your life. Now, in the same way, there's a lot of people out there, they are extremely cold right now. They don't have the foggiest idea how cold they are because they've never really felt the heat and they don't know what heat is. But if you could expose them to some fire, I want to make a promise to you, they will instantly realize just how cold their life really is. People who are frozen also tend to be very stiff. You know, I remember when I was still at school. I know that's a very long time ago. But we used to play rugby. And many times we used to play rugby like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'll never forget the one time me and him, we were at school together. Jani. We were at school together. Onthou jy van Voorbrand? Yeah, yeah, we were there in a place called Voorbrand. It's just up the road, yeah. And they had these big rugby fields. And sometimes in the mornings we had to play. And they, for some weird reason, the first kickoff was always in the region of 8 o'clock in the morning. And you know what? In primary school, you play without rugby boots. You play barefoot. And then you have to run on. And that field is white. It looks like it has snowed from the frost. That school was in a very cold area. That's all I can say. They need the fire of God in that place. It's there by Bella Vista. They need a lot of fire in that area. Yeah, for sure. And then we had to run onto that field. And you know what? Me, I was the team's kicker at that point in time. I used to have to kick off in the mornings. And I tell you, like, I remember the one time I kicked that ball and I went and sat straight down and I'm not playing anymore because I think I just broke all my toes. Like, I'm not playing. And I remember my dad came and he picked me up. He said, now you have to play. I was stiff. Everything in me was sore. Why? Because of the cold. Cold makes you stiff. What I'm trying to say is that the colder you are, the less chance you have of going somewhere with your life. If you are stiff from the cold and I ask you to start running, what's going to happen? Well, some of you might hobble along at a much reduced pace. Some of you might stretch a couple of muscles. Some of you might just start getting cramps. But can you freely go forward when you're stiff? No, you can't. All right, now let me ask you a question. How many of you know that we are running the race of life right now? You running the race, you running the race, you running the race. We're all running the race of life right now. And let's just see, who of you want to get to the finish line? Who of you want to reach your goal? Who wants to get to that place that God has destined for you? Who's excited about there's a future for me? You know the scripture, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. Where's your future? It's ahead of you. And you have to get from where you are now to where your future is, to where your destiny is. That means you have to progress, you have to go forward. Coldness keeps you from entering into your destiny. And sometimes because we are cold and because we are stiff, we stop at all the wrong rubbish because we just don't feel like going forward. And that's when you get stuck in the pit. That's when you get stuck with all the rubbish. That's when you get stuck by those places where problems start manifesting in your life. And later on you wonder, oh, but why is my life going nowhere? It's called coldness, brings stiffness, keeps you from going forward. You know, I preached in Colesburg a couple of years ago. I actually preached there a couple of times. And the people that I was staying at, they had a trucking company. And actually, they had a towing company. And I preached there, I think it was in July, in the July school holidays. And let me tell you something, that place is cold as anything. I went to play golf the one morning. And you know, in South Africa, it's not that common for lakes and rivers and stuff to freeze because we just don't get it that cold. But let me tell you, in that place, everything freezes up. They had a dam there that you had to play golf over the dam. The water on that dam was frozen this thick when I was there. You could actually walk over it. I didn't try it because I didn't trust it. But according to them, you could. But the water was frozen solid. And what used to happen is the truck drivers in that area, at night they stop. Because now they're getting tired and then they pull off the road. And then in the morning when they want to try and start the truck won't start because the diesel filters have actually frozen. And then this guy used to go out there and he would simply make a fire underneath it. And then the diesel would start, you know, loosening up and eventually they managed to get the truck to start and the truck could go. So you know what? Coldness can stop your progress. You will go nowhere. And you know what? I want to say this to you with all due respect. There's a lot of people in this world that are in exactly the same predicament as those trucks. Because we have become removed from God, or we've never really received God, or we don't understand how God works. We don't understand the need for a Savior. We don't have God in our life, and therefore we don't have the fire of God in our life. And therefore, when we try and get somewhere with our life, just like the driver of that truck is like, nothing wants to work. Why can I not go forward? Why am I stuck? Why does nothing happen for me? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I want to say to you that I know that I know that there are a couple of you sitting here right now and you're thinking, oh, maybe this oak is talking to me. Yes, I am. It's time for you to get some fire. Amen? It's time for you to get some vuma on your villa. Amen? And that can only come from God. I can't give it to you. Unless the fire of God comes into your life and thaws you out, your life is not going to go anywhere soon. What is it that brought you here tonight? Tony. The word of the Lord. Yes, you two, way too deep for me now. I wanted you to say my car. All right? Yes. Yanni, what brought you here tonight? You also way too deep for me now. You should have learned something from this oak. Listen, I know when you were at school, you used to bunk a lot. Now tonight, you mustn't bunk by thinking of other things while I'm preaching. You must listen. You okay? Here's the thing. What is it that brought us all here tonight? You came in a car. All right. You came in a car. So why am I saying that? Look at this. We came here in cars, and I want to ask you this question. What exactly is it that enables your car to function? What enables planes, trains, automobiles, boats, and all of that to function? It's called combustion. It's when fuel is vaporized and then an ignition source, which is fire, is introduced to the fuel. The fuel explodes. The explosion is turned into propulsion, and it pushes us forward. So I want to ask you a question, Tony. What brought you here tonight? No, not your car. Combustion. How did I know you were going to get that one? What brought you here? Combustion, which is also called fire. I know you didn't think about it that way, but the fact of the matter is, if it wasn't for fire, you would not be here tonight. Yes. They take the power of fire, they turn it into movement. And in the same way, your life is no different. If you don't receive the fire of God, your life will not move forward. What happens to your body if you don't feed it? Your body starts withering away, it loses energy, and eventually you die. What is it that gets us going again? It's food. Food activates your body and gives us the power, the energy, the surge to do whatever it is that we need to do. And we are not just a body. According to the Bible, in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, it says, "May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Listen again. May your whole body and soul and spirit be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are three in one. Just like God is three in one, we call God the Trinity. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when you look at our life, there is not much difference. We are also three in one. There is the body, and there is the soul, and there is the spirit. Now, if your body needs to be fed so that your body can have power, what makes you think that your spirit is any different? You see, do you know why a lot of people have weak bodies? Why a lot of people have a lot of sickness and a lot of infirmity and a lot of problems? Because their spirit is sick. And their spirit is sick because their spirit doesn't get fed, because their spirit has no energy, their spirit has no power, their spirit has no life. Your spirit, just like your physical body, needs something to enable it to work. One of the things that enables our spirit to work is called the fire of the living God. Through God's fire, your spirit receives power. The power to do what God called and created it to do. Luke 24:49 says, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Jesus was speaking to the disciples and he said, "Listen, yeah, all of you have a calling, all of you have a destiny, all of you have work to do for God. But until you haven't received God's power, you can't do nothing for God." I want to ask you a question. Who of you here tonight feels that in some way there is a calling on your life to do something for God? You should all raise your hands now, because none of us was put on this earth for nothing. All of us can influence somebody in a godly way. All of us can make a change in somebody's life in a godly way. All of us can be used by God. But you see, here's the thing. In order for you or you or you or me or anybody else to properly do something for God, it is done with our spirit. And our spirit gets power from God. We can't empower ourselves to do that. God empowers us to do that. Again, listen to Jesus' words. He says, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Jesus tells the disciples not to do anything until they have received God's power, which would come from on high. So what he was also saying to them is that unless you have received power from God, you won't be able to do nothing for God anyway. And do you know why a lot of people, when they try and do good and they try and, I'll give you just a stupid example. Let's just say that I go up into the missionary field somewhere up there in Africa and I try and evangelize people. I can spend years and years and years up there in the mission field and not see one convert. Why? Because I haven't received the power to do so. And then you can get somebody else that has been filled with the power of God, and wherever they go, people just get saved. That is the difference, because it is God's power that draws people to God. You can't do it, but God does it. Yes, He can use you, and He can use me, and He can use anybody, but you need His power. It's His power that enables us to make a difference. It's His power that empowers us to bring about godly change in people's lives, in situations. It's God's power that conquers sin. It's God's power that conquers sickness. It's God's power that conquers every devil, every demon, and every curse. Look at your neighbor and say, I need God's power. For sure, you need God's power. When the power of God comes upon your life begins to change. When the power of God comes upon your life, things that you never thought possible begin to manifest in your life. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. This is what Jesus was talking about. You all know this, but let's look at it anyway. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heavens and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. What has just happened here is what Jesus told them to wait for. Jesus said, wait for the power to come from above. The power has just come from above. The thing that Jesus said that the disciples had to have if they want to go out in the world has just fallen upon them. Now let me ask you a question. How did the power come? Yes, it came from, that's where did the power come from? It came from above. How did it come? The power came through fire. Did you hear that? Listen to this. Suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So first there was a wind. Who is the wind? The wind is the Holy Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit filled the place, and then, when the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit was strong, suddenly, boom, something appeared. What? Tongues of fire began to drop down and fall on these people. And you know what? Just for in case you're sitting here and you're thinking these oaks were smoking something funny, let me tell you, it wasn't even invented yet. There was real tongues of fire that came and fell upon them, touched them, and you know what? Peter would never be the same again. James, John, Luke, none of them would ever be the same again, because this day they received something that all the money in the world cannot buy, something that the devil wishes he had but he doesn't have. The anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they went out, and 11 untrained men changed the world forever. How amazing is that? And because of what God allowed to come upon their lives, today you and I can sit here and experience the power of God as well. Amen. The power of God came through fire, because the fire of God empowers our spirits with God's power to do what He has called us to do. Is there anybody here that believes that God has called you to do something? Now, before you answer, you know what? People often think that, Rion, but I'm not an evangelist. Now, I'm not saying God called you to be an evangelist. But Rion, you know what? I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a preacher. No, I never said anything about that. Don't you believe God wants godly husbands? Oh, for sure He does. Don't you think He wants godly fathers, godly mothers? Yes. Don't you think that God wants you to have a godly influence in your sphere of work? Yes, for sure He does. So I'm not just talking about something like full-time ministry, yeah, or whatever. God called you to do something. Sometimes it's to influence a certain individual. Sometimes it's to be a help for somebody else. But it's for the power of God to be able to work through you. So when I ask you this question, it's actually all of you that has that call from God. The fire of God changed the disciples' lives forever. Acts 2 verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. But then Peter stood up with the 11 and he raised his voice. He addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, And all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you and listen carefully to what I am saying. These men are not drunk as you are supposing. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. Peter is an uneducated fisherman and he has a bit of a temper. Yet here we see him get up in front of a crowd of hostile people and speak very eloquently, straight and to the point, with revelation knowledge, with wisdom, with insight, far above what he should be able to master. And to a certain extent, he gives his first sermon. Where did he get that from? Did he attend seminary? Did he go to Bible school? Was he coached by somebody? No. Where did this come from? When the fire of God came upon him and touched him, it loosed something that God had put inside of him. Do you know that the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels? Look at your neighbor and say, there's something amazing inside of you. Oh yes, there is something amazing, something wonderful, something spectacular, and above all, something godly inside of you. The thing is, without God's power, you will never know what is inside of you. You know what? Without God's power, what's inside of us is just the rubbish that we have there. Hatred and anger and jealousy and lies and slander and gossip and what. But when the fire of God comes, it does a couple of things. It burns up the rubbish. So it starts burning away at the bitterness, the anger, the hatred, the resentment, the jealousy, what. It starts burning that rubbish away, which we need to go. And it starts empowering what God put in us. And allows it to come out. You see, Peter was always called to be an evangelist. From the day that Peter was created, God called Peter to be an evangelist, to be a preacher. But Peter never knew it until the fire touched him. I can see Peter many times when Jesus was standing there preaching, he was sitting there like, wow, hey, this oak can only preach, eh? And I'm sure inside of him he thought, wow, I wish I could do that. Little did he know that that was already the gift inside of him beginning to speak. That longing was the gift starting to stir. The gift didn't stir because he had power, but because Jesus' power was in the room. And then there came a day, a wonderful day, a glorious day, when the fire came down from heaven and touched him. And suddenly there was an explosion in his spirit. And something inside of him that had been stuck there, that couldn't come out, was released. Like a dam wall bursting and that river started to flow. And when he opened his mouth, I can tell you now, while he was standing there talking, his brain was thinking, what is this? Where is this coming from? I'm sure he did. Because it was the power of the Holy Spirit coming through him. Where did it come from? Look at your neighbor and say, the fire. It came from the fire. What on earth had come over him? It is simple. It was the fire of God. The moment that fire of God came upon him and filled him, his spirit received power. Something in him switched on. Think of your TV. It's a nice thing. There's some interesting things that you can watch on it. But there's this key element that has to happen. The switch needs to be switched to on for the TV to work. It's the same with him. What's inside of him needed to be switched on. What switched it on? The power of God. It was as if something inside of him, which was always there, was switched on for the first time. And it started working. Drills, microwaves, TVs, hi-fis, computers, etc. are all amazing things, but we all know we can't do nothing with them unless they are first plugged in and secondly, switched on. Peter was plugged in because he knew Jesus. But I can, let's use my amplifier. My amplifier can be plugged in now, but unless somebody put the switch to on, I would be speaking and my voice would not be projected to the back because it can't function unless the switch is on. Peter was plugged in Through his relationship with Jesus, he was plugged into the kingdom of God, but he wasn't switched on until the fire of God came and switched him on. We are similar. There is a lot more to you than you currently know, but without God's fire, you'll never know who you are and what you are capable of. The component that makes TVs, radios, hi-fis, computers work is called what? What makes them work? It's electricity. We see electricity in nature as well. How do we see it? What do we see? We see lightning. Now, have you ever noticed that lightning has a remarkable resemblance to fire? When you see fire and you see lightning, it's the same thing. Because lightning burns, fire burns. In fact, lightning is a great fire starter. When lightning hits something, it generally tends to burn. There's nothing left of it. It's gone. People who get burned by lightning or by electricity, if we look at it from that point of view, also suffer burns. Now, why am I telling you this? Because the fire of God works a lot like lightning. On the day of Pentecost, when the fire first burned on them, and we are told it entered or filled them, you see, fire can't really enter you, but electricity can. And electricity is a type of fire. It can come into you and it can energize your entire body. This fire was supernatural. It could burn outside them and inside them, just like electricity flowing around and through a person. Many people actually feel something like electricity flow through them when the fire of God begins to spread around them and through them. And let me say something about that. Let's say that you are cold. What can make us cold? Well, the first thing that can make us cold is the fact that we don't know God. If you don't know God, we're going to look at it now, but the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. When God speaks of himself, he calls himself a fire. If we don't know God, we're cold. But can I tell you what makes us cold? Rejection makes us cold. Disappointment makes us cold. Pain, hurt, suffering makes us cold. People stabbing us in the back makes us cold. There are so many things that we can experience that all make us cold. You can be on fire for God, and then the way somebody treats you, or the things somebody says about you, or the things somebody does to you, it pours cold water and the fire just goes. Let me ask you a question. Why do a lot of people leave the church? Because of other people and what other people do. But can I tell you what starts to happen? What the other people do to you puts cold water on your fire. And you don't feel your fire anymore. And then you feel, why am I doing this? I don't need this. Can God start a fire again? Yes. You know, I remember an interesting story in the Bible. One of the prophets, I think it was Elijah, confronted a bunch of Baal worshippers. And he said to the Israelites, he said, listen, yeah, it's time for us to see whose God is the actual God. So here's what you're going to do. All you Baal worshippers, all you Baal priests, you go and you make a sacrifice to your God. But you don't start the fire yourself. Only the true God can start fire because God is fire. So we're gonna settle this argument once and for all. You put your altar there, I'll put my altar there, and the God that answers by fire will be the true God. So the Baal worshippers, they built their altar, they cut up their oxen or whatever it was that they were putting there, they put it down, and then they began to cry out to their spirits that they worship, Baal and Molech. Baal is also called the fire god. But guess what? He didn't even have smoke, never mind fire, he had nothing. And you know, then they started cutting themselves with swords and knives to sort of sacrifice their own blood to try and get this oak to wake up and come and put some fire. But he had nothing to give. Because although he's real, he's not the God of fire. You see, Satan's just a liar. And you know what Elijah did? He said, right, here's what we're going to do. Here's my altar. Dig a trench around it. They dug a trench around it. He said, bring water. He poured water all over the wood. He poured water all over the sacrifice. He filled the trench with water. If something is sopping wet, can you start a fire with it? But God can. Because the Bible says the next moment, the fire of God came down. It first lapped up all the water and then it consumed completely the sacrifice. So I want to say something to you. And I believe this is a word for quite a few of you here. Doesn't matter how much water they've poured on your fire. Today God can suck that water out of you. Amen. He can suck that hurt out of you. He can suck that disappointment out of you. And He can kickstart you again. And let me tell you something. The devil better be careful. Amen. Because what's going to come for him is not good. Yeah, give the Lord a big hand, please. When the fire of God comes upon us, every area in our life that has gone cold, that has become frozen, that has been wet, will thaw out. And the secrets that God has placed inside of us will begin to operate again for the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Is it any wonder that the power of God manifests as a fire? No, because God Himself is a holy fire. And let me tell you something about Satan. There's a lot of things that Satan hates, but Satan hates fire. And I'm not talking about tomorrow night is Saturday, you're going to have a nice braai, the devil won't come near your house because you're going to make a fire. The devil doesn't care about the fire in your backyard. The devil cares about the fire in your heart. The devil cares about the fire in your soul, the fire in your spirit, the fire in your marriage, the fire in your house because of the presence of the living God. You really want the devil to get out of your life? Get some fire. Because I tell you one thing, when the devil sees fire, he goes, because he remembers where he's going one day. Come on. Oh yes, he doesn't like it. Satan knows the fire of God. He knows what that fire is capable of. And unfortunately, he will do everything he can to keep you from getting that fire. When God's fire comes, Satan generally gets destroyed. Ultimately, his fate is the lake of fire. Revelation 20 verse 10 says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had also been thrown." Satan knows his future, and he knows there's a lot of fire in his future. Whenever the fire of God comes, Satan knows it spells trouble for him. Psalm 97 verse 3 says, "A fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world and the earth sees it and trembles." That's God. God is fire. God is lightning. God is power. Satan's only hope of escaping this is to try and stop the fire from starting in the first place. And if a fire has started, let me try and put it out as quickly as possible because I can't deal with fire. I don't like fire. And I have to say to you, unfortunately, the devil is very good at doing this. Satan is an excellent fire quencher. He's a deceiver. Sometimes he convinces people that the manifestations of fire in the church is actually devils or demons. It's false spirits, it's lying spirits, it's counterfeit, it's not God, God doesn't work this way, God doesn't operate this way. My friend, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that we serve a supernatural God? Amen. Come on, just wave at me. If you believe it, wave at me. Okay, now keep your hand in there. If you believe that we serve a supernatural God, that you must believe that the power of God is also supernatural. Amen. Now, since when do we live in an era where everything supernatural in the church must be the devil? Because that's how some churches operate. It's like, oh, if it's weird in the church, it must be the devil. Have you read your Bible? How did Jesus heal the sick? Well, there was a blind guy. Jesus put mud on his face. He began to see. There was a mute guy. Jesus spit on his tongue. The guy began to speak. Explain that to me. You can't. Why? Because it's weird. Why? Because it's supernatural. Why? Because we serve a supernatural God. Amen? Amen? Jesus was ordered to pay temple tax. How did he pay the temple tax? He said to one of his disciples, listen here, go catch a fish. When you catch the fish, open his mouth, you will find money there, go pay the taxes. That's why there's so many fishermen today. They're trying to replicate what Jesus did. We serve a supernatural God. You can't tell him what to do, how to do, where to do, when to do it. He does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, but it works. And he doesn't need your permission. He doesn't have to ask you, listen, yeah, is this acceptable or is that acceptable? Do you know one of the saddest things that I've noticed is when the supernatural power of God begins to move in the church, most people stand back and say, oh, but this is not God. How sad is that? Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Do you know the Lord's Prayer? Just quote the first two verses for me, or sentences. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's enough. Whose kingdom must come? Okay, with all due respect to you, you're a nice guy, but it's not your kingdom that matters, does it? And it's not yours. And God's not interested in you manifesting your kingdom or you manifesting your kingdom, because that doesn't count. The kingdom that must come is the kingdom of God. It is that place where demons get cast out with one word. It's that place where sickness is healed by one touch. It's that place where the fire and the power of God begins to move, and even though it's weird and strange and supernatural, it works. And that's where we need to get to. If we allow God, there's a lot of things that he would love to do. But many times the reason why God doesn't move in our churches is because of us. Because we won't allow him to. You know, the Bible says, do not quench the Spirit of God. Do not quench. In other words, you can put cold water on the fire of God if your attitude is wrong. I don't know about you, but I don't want to quench nothing. I want more fire. I need more fire. You need more fire. You know, the reason why the world is falling apart right now is because there's a lack of godly fire. Because godly fire destroys sin. Godly fire destroys iniquity. Godly fire destroys prostitution. It destroys murder. It destroys rape. No demon of murder. No demon of rape. No demon of lies. No demon of fornication. No demon of hatred. No demon of racism can stand against the fire of God. But there isn't much fire. Because the fire of God works through men and women. And very few are open to allowing that fire to work through them. You know, I've been to quite a few churches where the fire and the power of God begins to move. Things begin to happen. And the Christians, they have this like, what's this nonsense? What's this rubbish? I don't want that. Don't bring that near me. And you know what? It just saddens me, because God is trying to manifest his presence and his power to help his children. But his children treat it with contempt and disgust. Ah, this is not for me. Nah, I don't want this stuff. Sad. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. I'm just going to put this out there. If you claim to be a child of God today, it's because you gave your life to God. And if you gave your life to God, then you must allow God to be in charge. The problem is, we give our life to God, but we want to keep the reins. I still want to choose to, I allow this and I don't allow this and I this. It's not you anymore, it's him. Now he's steering the ship and I'm along for the ride. Most of us is like, oh, you're getting too close to the rocks. Oh, let's go this way. Meanwhile, that's exactly where you're supposed to be right now. Amen? Psalm 97, a fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees it and trembles. God is a fire. God is lightning. God is power. Most churches pray for God's outpouring of power to stop as soon as it starts, because Satan convinces us this is not God. Peter and the 10 received the fire and the power of God and started a revolution. They went out in God's power and the world was never the same again. Mark 16 verse 20. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. In other words, when they went out under the power of the Holy Spirit and they preached the word, signs and wonders manifested everywhere they went. And do you know why it manifested? Because they opened their hearts to allow God to work. They had an expectancy for the power and the fire of God to work through them. Now, here's my question. Was this just for people 2,000 years ago? Or was that for today? You show me one place in the Bible where it says that should have stopped. You can't. It's for today. But I want to say to you again, the question isn't, does God still heal? Does God still deliver people? Does God still do miracles? The question is, do people still believe? Because God still does all of these things, but only when people believe. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We can't have no faith in God or have unbelief in God and still expect God's power to manifest because, hello, it's not going to happen. It is impossible. We serve the one that can make the impossible possible. Amen. You got problems? He's the solution. You got some devil giving you a hard time? It's nothing for him. He touches that demon and the thing goes, and it's gone. But you have to have faith in him. You have to put your faith in him and allow his power to work. And you don't know what's coming for you if you allow it to work. Hebrews 1 verse 7 says, in speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and he makes his servants flames of fire. Raise your hands if you believe that you are a servant of God. Did you hear what he says? He wants to make you a flame of fire. Yanni, did you bring your asbestos underwear? You're just giving me this weird smile. But I want to tell you something. By the time you get home tonight, probably there's going to be very little around your body because God wants to turn you into a flame of fire. Can I tell you something? When the devil looks at you, he must wear his welding goggles. It's like, ooh, Fatima just woke up. It's like, ooh, bring my goggles. Don't you think so? For sure. I want it too. And you know, when we walk into a place that is infested with sin and iniquity and all sorts of rubbish. Do you know why Jesus could change any situation? Because upon Jesus was the Spirit of God without measure. In other words, through Jesus burnt a flame that could not be quenched. That's simply what the Bible is trying to explain to us. The same can happen to you. Jesus said, you can do what I have done and even greater things you will do. It's not a lie. We just need to get to the place that we embrace these truths and we allow it to happen through our lives. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, wada, 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 no evil will befall me. Thy rod and thy staff will protect me. Do you know why there will be no problems? Because even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, the fire in you will expel the darkness. Amen. But don't try and go through that same valley without some fire because you're in for trouble. Probably that valley will suck you in. When you walk down the street, every devil, every demon, every spirit, every evil, every curse must run that way because, ooh, they're coming. Do you know how demons know whether we have anointing or not? They see fire when they look at us. When you tell a demon, in Jesus' name, come out, he looks at you and he doesn't even see smoke. All he does is laugh at you because he's not stupid. But when you tell him to go and the fire of God comes with your words and the fire of God is upon your life, he's going to go. Because he cannot resist that open flame for too long. Most demons can resist for a time. Just like you can touch something hot for a while, but there's going to come a moment where I can't anymore. You have to let go. If you have fire, you have authority. If you have fire, you have power. If you have nothing, you have nothing. And you go nowhere. A servant of God that catches fire is empowered by God to start fires wherever they go. Now, here's the interesting thing about fire. How many of you believe that we are due for revival sometime soon? Amen. Okay, then I want you to just quickly stand up and just wave at me. Who of you want revival? Just wave at me. Yes, amen, amen, amen. Okay, now, here's how, thank you, you can sit down. Here's how revival starts. First, a fire must come. That fire must begin to burn, and then that fire must begin to spread. Look at your neighbor and say, it can start with you. It can start with you. It can start with you. I'm not even going to answer that. It can start with you. It can start with you. It can start with all of you. And can I show you? I'm actually going to show you what happens when the fire of God begins to burn. Young lady, come here quickly, please. Let me read you the scripture again. Listen to it. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7. In speaking of the angels, God says he makes the angels winds and his servants flames of fire. When you are a true servant of God, the fire of God is upon your life. Finished and clear. It's not negotiable. That is just the way it is. The fire of God is there. Now, do you know one of the wonderful characteristics of fire? Fire can spread. Hello? If I have one stick in my one hand and I have another stick in my other hand, I put this stick in the fire and it begins to burn. How do I now get the other stick to burn? I simply touch the one to the other and the fire jumps. So if I am on fire for God and she's not on fire for God and she's not on fire for God and he's not on fire for God and he's completely ice cold and he's totally in the darkness, what's going to happen if I touch them? Well, let me tell you something. The one piece of wood can say how many times, I don't want to burn, I don't want to burn, I don't want to burn. When the fire touches you, you burn. Whether you're going to stay burning or not is up to you. But you will start burning. Hello? So I want to show you something. Me, I'm a servant of God. I'm excited about God. I want to make a change. I want to make a difference. And I believe that I was put on this earth to do that for God. I believe in the Word of God. I believe in the Holy Scriptures. And I believe that the Holy Spirit works through me to enable other people. So if I touch this woman and I'm on fire, then the fire is going to touch her, is it? Just take my hand. That's all you have to do. You can pray for my shoulder later. What happened? The fire of God went into her spirit. Why? Because that's what God does. The power of the Holy Spirit is released to empower people. Some people probably think this is only for the younger generation. You come. Are you wearing your asbestos underwear? Oh, that's good. I'm just checking. What's happening to her? The fire of God came into her spirit. Oops. You see, but now the carpet is on fire. There's nothing we can do about that. My friend, I want to say something to you. Without the fire of God, we can't make a difference. Without the fire of God, we can't go forward. Without the fire of God, there will not be change. But I want to make you a promise. The fire of God is yet tonight. Because God knows your heart. You know, tonight you could have gone to some social event. You could have gone to the movies. You know, tonight is the night that most people go out to enjoy themselves. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but tonight you made a decision. You made a choice to come and honor God. You made a choice to come to the house of God. I don't care that this is a school. Right now, this is the house of God. You came to the house of God and you said to God, Lord, you are more important than anything else. So guess what? Ma'am, I don't want you to worry. They're going to be fine. I know this is a bit weird for you. Yeah, it's a bit strange, but they're going to be fine. Did you see what happened when Jesus prayed for people in the Gospels? Some really weird, freaky stuff happened. Why? Because the kingdom of God is real. The fire of God is real. And the supernatural manifests, whether we like it or not. If you open your heart to God tonight, there is no telling what God's going to do for you and through you. Amen? Amen? Of course, God can do anything. And He obviously will. Amen? It's okay. She's getting to boiling point now. If she was a rocket, she was ready to take off now. Okay. All right. Did anybody learn something tonight? Yeah. Come on, give the Lord a big hand, please. All right, so here's what we're going to do now. I know that some of you, you haven't been to our meetings there in Springs, and I want to explain something to you because I think it's important for you to understand. We have seen a much greater and a much more powerful manifestation of the presence and the power of God and the working of the Holy Spirit. But one of the key things that I changed in this ministry that I believe is allowing that to happen is worship. Without worship, if we can't worship God, we cannot receive the power of God. It's when the Bible says when we worship the Lord, we build Him a throne in our midst. Worship allows the power of God to come down. So before I pray for anybody, and I want to make an invitation. I don't want you to go home. Please don't go home. You took the trouble to come here tonight, then allow God to minister to you. Allow the power of God to come and touch you. Allow the fire of God to be released upon you. I do believe God wants to give it to you, and I do believe that He will. But before, you know what, a lot of people are like, okay, here I am, pray for me. No, we're going to worship first because it's important. Because worship creates the atmosphere for the river of God to begin to flow. If the Holy Spirit is not here, then no matter how many times I touch you, nothing is going to happen for you. It's Him that does it, not me. It's not me. It's Him. Amen? Amen. So here's what we're going to do now. Ladies, please help us. We're going to take up an offering. You're under no obligation to give anything. But if you want to support this ministry and you want us to come back and to continue, please support us. After the taking of the offering, we are going to have some time of worship. It's going to be about half an hour. And then we're going to start praying for you. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care how big your issue is. I don't care how big the drama in your life is. One touch from God can change that. Amen? Amen? Amen. One touch from God. One word spoken by God can calm a storm. Amen? Amen. Okay, just before we continue, can I quickly have your attention? For those of you that are not aware, we actually have a YouTube channel where our sermons are now available on YouTube. You can go on there and you can watch the sermons, and you can also see ministry. Now, let me just explain something to you. In this ministry, we deal a lot with deliverance, which means we cast demons out of people. Now, for a lot of people, that's like really strange, really weird. It's like, but this stuff doesn't happen anymore. Yes, it does. And Jesus commanded the disciples to go out and cast out demons, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead. Jesus still wants us to do all of those things. And a lot of people don't understand that, because the churches where they come from do not allow this to happen. I grew up in a certain church. I'm not going to name the name. It's got nothing. It's not relevant. But I was in that church for 26 years. I never saw the power of God in that church, not once. But the power of God is real. And I know that there are people like that sitting here tonight. You have been in the same church for how many years? You've never really seen the power of God. So when somebody shows you or talks to you about it, it's like, oh, but that can't be real. If you go onto our YouTube channel, you will see us cast the demons out of people. Mm-hmm. You will see the power of God come upon people. You will see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit as He begins to work amongst the people. And you can listen to my sermons. You can see the videos of the sermons that we have preached. Did you enjoy tonight's sermon? Did it teach you something? Well, then I want to invite you. There's two tools that we are utilizing to spread the gospel. One is our website, where the entire library of my sermons are available for free for you to download. It's on www.warriorsforchrist.co.za. And then secondly, if you want to see the sermons on YouTube and you want to see the ministry and the testimony of people that got healed at our meetings on YouTube, you simply key in Rion Lombard. And it'll take you to my channel. And all of our sermons are available there, and the testimonies are available there, and you can actually see group deliverance taking place. You will see sometimes up to 100 people manifest at the same time, demons coming screaming out of them, and they are set free and they are delivered. Amen? Amen. So I want to actually ask Stelios, please do me a favor. Those stickers there, don't you want to just hand some out? We had some stickers made just to promote the YouTube channel, because we would love people to make use of it. We're not putting it up there for Mahala. We're putting it up there for people to use it. You know what? You have family in Cape Town. You want them to learn something. They say, oh, this is rubbish. You say, no. Go watch this. And then you come and talk to me again. I'm just going to let him hand out some of them quickly, please. If you want to stick them somewhere, you're welcome. Otherwise, if it's just to help you to know where to go, this is also going to help you.